State of Washington Insider.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. This is L.A. Steel. And tonight we have, we're celebrating our 450th program and our third year on Blog Talk Radio. I'm very happy. We started just about, the day before Thanksgiving last year, rather 3 years ago. And we've been on ever since, approximately three nights a week here and one night a week on our FM show. We want to thank everybody who's listened over the years. And we celebrated our 40,000th on Friday of last week. We hit our 40,000th listener. We're way over that now. We're almost at 41,000 listeners, which is really wonderful. And that means a lot for us here at the L.A. Steel Show. And you may wonder where Lila is, but she is right now. She was supposed to say hello, but she is right now cooking things for tomorrow, and asked that she might be excused for the show, and of course she has been. And but she may stop in and say hello later. But right at this point, I wanted to thank everybody for being with us and sticking with us. And I hope it's been worthwhile for you. And I hope you tell your friends, and our audience can continue to expand at great rates. And it just means that more and more people are enjoying what we do. I'm very pleased at that. Tonight we have an interview with Chris Rye. Now, Chris is very good documentary called For Liberty, and it involves the Ron Paul campaign, 2008, plus the revolutions that's going on now, and a very libertarian and idealistic documentary, which I rather enjoyed seeing, because and you can get that at let me make sure I get that right. ForLibertyMovie.com. ForLibertyMovie.com. You can get that there, and I believe it sells for about $20. It's about a two-hour show, and very good. Very, very good. If you're interested in the Ron Paul campaign and what's been going on there with, and it's very similar to what happened, and so many times with the left, with so many people got behind leaders during the, in liberal leaders, but never so much so behind a Republican leader, a Republican Congressman Ron Paul, who has a unique sense of integrity in his beliefs and a unique method of a unique way of talking and telling his tale, and a lot of people around the country listening, thousands and thousands and perhaps millions, I would say millions of people are following the Ron Paul revolution, and it's an interesting thing to listen to. But tonight we're going to talk about we got a few news items before we go on to the program, until we go on to the interview, rather. We have a caller. I can mute him. Mute him, rather. Hello, 111. Welcome to the show. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, is this tech support?
What's that?
Is this tech support?
Tech support? Nah, you got the L.A. Steel Show. Sorry.
Hello?
Yeah, this is the L.A. Steel Show. Not, who are you? You're on a show. Not tech support.
No, I'm trying to get in touch with tech support.
Well, you know, go to Blog Talk Service, not the LA Steel Show.
I could have sworn this was the number on the website.
Not on, well, maybe on this website, but not for help. I don't know.
This isn't the tech support.
No, it's not tech support. Sorry to confuse you there. I don't know why you were sent over to me.
It was a number on the website. I couldn't contact us.
Oh. Well, not this one. 955, yeah. Okay. So,
hello?
Yeah, we're here, but we're not tech support, so I gotta, unless you got a question for the show,
I do. How do I disable cookies?
How do you disable cookies? I don't know, man. I'm running a political talk show here. I have no idea how to disable cookies.
Well, you asked if I had a question.
What's that?
I said you asked if I had a question, and I asked you a question. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what, guy. I don't have any answers for you, so call tech support with Blog Talk Service, and have a good night.
I checked my TCP connection.
Yeah, hey, I don't care, man. I got to get rid of you. Stay. Have a good night, all right? Anyway, again, what we're trying to do tonight, what tonight I want to talk about is a couple of stories here that happened recently. Hold on a second. The other night I read an article on the pandemic in the Ukraine. I got a follow-up story here from the Guardian, .co.uk. And it says, panic over hundreds of food deaths exploited by Ukraine's politicians. A food pandemic in Ukraine that has triggered a nationwide panic is worsening this weekend with up to 400 deaths already reported. The arrival of the virus, suspected by the World Health Organization to be swine flu, but possibly a combination of the H1N1 strain and respiratory illness, has paralyzed the country's fragile health system and could even lead to the postponement of the general elections, which is scheduled for January 17th. 7 people died and 35,000 new cases were reported on Friday, said Health Minister. That is bringing the total number of people infected to 1.6 million out of a population of 46 million. The onslaught of the virus has seen all the major political figures eagerly exploiting the outbreak. Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko announced the arrival of an epidemic October 30th, when only one case had been reported, and has closed all schools and banned public gathering, including the campaigning political rallies for the past 3 weeks. Now, maybe to explain that a little better, the outbreaks started on the 30th, but the chemtrailing that was reported and many, many thousands of people who became ill immediately or within 24 hours, that they sprayed on the 3rd, on the 29th, I'm sorry, on the 29th of October and the 31st of October. So they sprayed on both days. And the first reports of the pandemic came in on the 30th, but there was a noted aerosol spraying at that time. So hang on one second. I think I have another caller here. 774, can I help you?
Hi, is this the Krusty Krab?
What's that?
Is this the Krusty Krab?
Is this what?
The Krusty Krab.
No. No, this is the L.A. Steel Show.
Okay.
All right.
Niggers.
What's this guy? Hello? Hello, can I help you? 111. What are you?
Yeah, is this tech support?
Man, will you get off the line with this tech support? This is the L.A. Steel Show, all right?
I need to delete my cookies.
Yeah, eat your cookies, dude. All right. Anyway. What was I saying? The onslaught of the virus has been seen, has seen all major political figures eagerly exploiting the outbreak for the past 3 weeks. Her standing in the polls, Yulia Tymoshenko, her standing in the polls has shot up after frequent television appearances, urging people to take care and criticizing her political foes for inaction. Tymoshenko even went to the airport to greet a shipment of Tamiflu, prompting the president to send one of his own representatives. President Viktor Yanukovych, who is still the editorial frontrunner but facing an ever-narrowing gap with Tymoshenko, has been trying to match her by pledging to spend his campaign funds on medical supplies and 20 million face masks. That's fascinating. This is very dangerous, said Igor Skrobonik, chief of the health minister in the Western District of Chervinsky. One or another politician will gain from this situation, but the doctors and their patients certainly will not. He said the level of fear was such that people were calling out ambulances when they felt the first touch of fever and hospitals were overloaded. In such easy times, bloggers and conspiracy theorists have whipped up fears by suggesting the bubonic plague or new, more lethal strains of the flu were sweeping the Ukraine, and there was a massive cover-up of the number of deaths. We are seeing reports of bodies lying in the streets, said one. Another claimed to have seen reports of doctors mystified by the state of patients' lungs after death, but with no authoritative medical analysis of the case available, such amateur diagnoses have run riot. But these are not amateur diagnoses. These have been actual death reports by doctors who have stated that the government was putting a ban on, it was censoring all this information because of the and that there were as many as 200,000 people a day coming down with this due to this frightening bioweapon that they sprayed, as well as the fact that they actually threw the these were reported, they had seen them, visibly seen them happening, and became very ill in the process. This is all in the Ukraine. I have another caller here tonight. Caller 478, do you have something to say, or?
Yeah, just tech support.
Oh, man. No, this is not tech support.
This is WGMD tech support.
No. Sorry.
I need to delete my cookies.
Yeah, eat your cookies, dude. So anyway. We're seeing reports of bodies lying in the streets at one. Other claims to have seen reports of doctors mystified. I'm sorry, guys, I got sidetracked here by Mr. the Cookie Monster. We're seeing a normal psychological reaction to the complete incompetence of the state authorities. People are scared and they don't know what to do to trust anyone or anymore. The scare has also led to people hoarding surgical masks and flu remedies, which are now almost impossible to find, and many home remedies are being sought. And on Thursday, the country received humanitarian aid from 13 nations. The WHO and two Ukrainian charities, and is in talks with six more countries about help with the outbreak. Swine flu pandemics are also being reported in Belarus, Moldova, Poland, and Hungary. Now, it just seems odd to me that the UK, the Guardian, would try to put down the plague as a scare and not real, when 13 different nations are offering charity help to the Ukraine, And there's also reports of a plague, of the plague moving into Belarus, Moldova, Poland, and Hungary. Poland had over 250,000 cases reported last Friday, I believe it was last week. And anyway, that's where we're at. I got another article here that I wanted to read before we go to the interview. Here's at commondreams.org. This was published on Monday. Obama quietly backs the Patriot Act provisions. This is by William Fisher. New York. With the health care debate preoccupying the mainstream media, it has gone virtually unreported that the Barack Obama administration is quietly supporting renewal of provisions of the G.W. Bush-era USA Patriot Act that civil libertarians say infringe on basic freedoms and is reportedly going over the inspections of some prominent Democrats, the objections of some prominent Democrats. When a panicky Congress passed the act 45 days after the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, three contentious parts of the law were scheduled to expire at the end of next month, and opponents of these sections have been pushing Congress to substitute new provisions with substantially strengthened civil liberties precautions, or protections, rather. But with the apparent approval of the Obama White House, a number of Republicans, and over the objections of liberal Senate Democrats, including Russ Feingold of Wisconsin and Dick Durbin of Illinois, the Senate Judiciary Committee has voted to extend the three provisions with only minor changes. Those provisions would leave unaltered the power of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or the FBI, to seize records and eavesdrop on phone calls and email in the course of counterterrorism investigations. The part of the act due to expire on December 31st deal with national security letters. The FBI uses national security letters to compel service providers, libraries, banks, and credit reporting companies to turn over sensitive information about their customers and patrons. Using this data, the government can compile vast dossiers on innocent people. The material support statute. The provision criminalizes providing material support to terrorists, defined as providing any tangible or intangible good, service, or advice to a terrorist or designated group. As amended by the Patriot Act and other laws since September 11th, this section criminalizes a wide array of activities, regardless of whether they actually or intentionally further terrorist goals or organizations. FISA Amendment Act of 2008. This past summer, Congress passed a law that permits the government to conduct warrantless and suspicionless dragnet collections of U.S. residential international telephone calls and emails. Asked by IPS why Committee Chairman Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont and other Democrats chose to make only minor changes, Chip Pitts, President of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, referred to the secret and hypocritical lobbying by the Obama administration against reforms, while publicly stating receptiveness to them. White House pressure, he speculated, was undoubtedly a huge, if lamentable, factor. He added that some committee members were cautious because of the recent arrests of Nijabullah Zazi and others. Zazi was a citizen of Afghanistan and a legal U.S. resident, was arrested in September as part of a group accused of planning to carry out acts of terrorism against the U.S. Zazi is said by the FBI to have attained courses and received instruction on weapons and explosives at an al-Qaeda training camp in Pakistan. Leahy acknowledged in light of these incidents, "This is no time to weaken or undermine the tools that law enforcement relies on to protect America." Pitt told IPS, "Short-term and political considerations driven by dramatic events once again dramatically affected the need for a more sensible, long-term, reasoned rule of law approach. In the 8 years since passage of the original Patriot Act, it's become clear that the escalating political competition to appear tough on terror and avoid being accused of being soft on terror brings perceived editorial benefits with few costs, with vital but fragile civil liberties being easily sacrificed, he added. In contrast to the Senate, the House of Representatives Judiciary Committee approved a version of legislation containing several significant reforms. In a 16-10 party-line vote, the committee's version curbed some of the government's controversial surveillance powers. The Patriot Act passed by a landslide after the 9/11 terrorist attacks to provide law enforcement and intelligence agencies additional powers to thwart terrorist activities was reauthorized in 2005. And the legislation has been criticized by many from across the ideological spectrum as a threat to civil liberties, piracy, and democratic traditions. And sections of the original act have been ruled unconstitutional, with certain provisions violating protected rights. Judiciary Chair John Conyers, a Michigan Democrat, said the goal of the new laws was to craft a law that preserves both our national security and our national values. And the proposed new legislation would permit the so-called lone wolf provision to sunset. This authority removed the requirement that an individual needed to be an agent of a foreign power to be placed under surveillance by intelligence officials, and permitted surveillance of individuals with a much lower evidentiary threshold than others under criminal surveillance procedures. So in other words, if they saw you down walking down the street, or you happen to be a Muslim, you know, they could follow you. And the Justice Department maintains that the lone wolf authority is necessary, even though there is no evidence that it has been used. Its opponents believe that existing authorities are sufficient to achieve the goals of the lone wolf provision while more effective protecting the rights of innocent citizens. And it kind of goes on. You can check this out at commondreams.org. Called Obama Quietly Backed Patriot Act Provisions. So, Obama is no sweetheart, I'll tell you. This guy's just as hungry for power as Bush was and Cheney were. We still got a few more minutes before the interview. About a half an hour interview. And I'd like to read another article here. Let's see. This law is, by Mercola, Mercola.com. You might want to check this out. France, it's got a large article on Monsanto. And it says, France finds Monsanto guilty of lying. France's highest court has ruled that U.S. agrochemical giant Monsanto had not told the truth about the safety of its best-selling weed killer, Roundup. The court confirmed an earlier judgment that Monsanto had falsely advertised its herbicide as biodegradable and claimed it left the soil clean, and Roundup is the world's best-selling herbicide. French environmental groups had brought the case in 2001 on the basis that glyphosate, the Roundup's main ingredient, is classed as dangerous for the environment by the European Union. In the latest ruling, France's Supreme Court upheld two earlier convictions against Monsanto by the Lyon Criminal Court, the Lyon Criminal Court in 2007, and the Lyon Courts of Appeal in 2008, as reported by AFP News Agency. Monsanto already dominates American food chain, America's food chain, with its genetically modified seeds. Now it has targeted milk production, just as frightening as the corporation's tactics, including ruthless legal battles against the small farmers, has its decade-long history of toxic contamination. Dr. Mercola's comments on this, he states, Monsanto is a very dark cloud hanging over the future of health and food safety in the United States. The powerful entity has already managed so many reprehensible acts, it boggles the mind, including leading the world into a new age of potentially hazardous genetic modification of seeds, patenting not only their own GMO seeds, but also a huge number of crop seeds, patenting life forms from the first time without a vote for the people or Congress, without a vote of the people or Congress. Not allowing farmers to save their seeds to replant the next year in practice that has been done for generations. Instead, they aggressively seek out and sue farmers they suspect of doing so. Suing farmers who have not been able to prevent the inevitable drift of Monsanto's GE pollen or seed onto their land for patent infringement. Producing two of the most toxic substances ever known, polychlorinated biphenyls, and known as PCBs and dioxin, Agent Orange. Now France's highest court has confirmed an earlier judgment that Monsanto falsely advertised this Roundup herbicide as biodegradable and said it left the soil clean, claims that could not be further from the truth. And the reality about Roundup, Monsanto long used the slogans, "is safer than mowing," and "biodegradable and environmentally friendly" to describe Roundup under the real effects of this toxic herbicide were revealed, and they were forced to discontinue their deceptive advertising. Glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, is the most commonly reported cause of pesticide illness among landscape maintenance workers in California. Additionally, the surfactant ingredient in Roundup is more acutely toxic than glyphosate itself, and the combination of the two is even more toxic. Glyphosate is suspected of causing genetic damage. Glyphosate is acutely toxic to fish and birds and can kill beneficial insects and soil organisms that maintain ecological balance. And laboratory studies have identified adverse effects of glyphosate, containing products in all standard categories of toxicology testing. In one animal study, rats given 1,000 milligrams of glyphosate resulted in a 50% mortality rate, and the skeletal alterations were observed in over 57% of fetuses. This is very concerning because millions of pounds of Roundup are used every year on U.S. grow-up gardens, lawns, and farms, especially on general genetically modified crops that are engineered to be Roundup resistant. Roundup works by inhibiting an enzyme called EPSP synthase, which is necessary for plants to grow. Without it, plants are unable to produce essential proteins, so they slowly yellow and die. Monsanto developed the cash cow when they created not only Roundup, but also their genetically modified Roundup-ready crops. Roundup-ready soybean, cotton, and corn crops are the world's largest group of genetically modified crops. In fact, the GM Roundup-ready gene is part of more than 75% of soybeans, 65% of cotton, and 10% of corn grown in the United States. This particular variety of genetically modified crops became so popular because it allows farmers to spray Monsanto Roundup herbicide directly on their fields without harming the crops. And ordinarily, if you were to spray Roundup or any other glyphosate-based herbicide into a plant, it would die. Monsanto Roundup crops, however, produce an enzyme that has the same function as EPSP synthase, but is not affected by Roundup. As you might imagine, the use of Roundup herbicide has increased dramatically since the GM Roundup Ready crops were introduced, and serious problems have been reported ever since. The Roundup residues are toxic. Monsanto has a sordid past. It's a very, very good comment and article. And you can get this on Mercola, MERCOLA.com. check that one out. So it's about time we'll go to our interview with Chris Rye. As I said, Chris did is a director and producer of a movie called Fourth Liberty, and it's the a documentary on the Ron Paul campaign in 2008, and we're going to play that now.
While an obscure congressman from Texas brought an alternative voice that challenged the political and media establishment, advocating a philosophy of sound money, a non-interventionist foreign policy, strict constitutionalism, and individualism, Dr. Paul inspired a unique grassroots movement unmatched in American history, the repercussions of which continue to reverberate today. For Liberty follows this historic campaign from the perspective of grassroots activists and showcased the unique, bizarre, yet groundbreaking projects they undertook while brushing aside traditional campaign methodology.
Very good. That was Lila. Chris, welcome to the show.
Yes, welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, it's great to have you on. And how did you get involved with Ron Paul?
I have known about him for a good number of years, and, you know, had kind of followed him in Congress well before he ever ran for president this time, and was really impressed with his voting record and how he, you know, only votes on constitutional principles when he casts his congressional votes. And seeing him, you know, a lot of times he's the only congressman who will vote against things in, you know, the House. It'll be, you know, 434-1, and a lot of times it's him with the dissenting vote, and I just thought that was really impressive. So when I found out he was running for president, it was just a no-brainer that I would be a supporter.
So the curious thing about this this was that your movie, which was good, by the way, the activists that were involved, how you got these guys, and how they were so devoted to Ron Paul, in the sense that they were, I mean, this one guy, I forget his name, but he was an activist who bicycled across the country. I forgot his name.
Mike Maresco.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I mean, with a Ron Paul on a bicycle with a little wagon behind him that said Ron Paul on it, carried his gear. But and then of course there's that walk, that great walk from. What was it, from Green Bay to Minnesota, 269 miles or something? You guys walked?
It was about 280 miles. This is a group that walked from Green Bay, Wisconsin, into Minneapolis over about 3 weeks.
And you know what was interesting is that we in New England were totally excluded from this. I mean, the media gave this no play at all.
Well, and you know what happened, too, is... actually, I was I called the Paul campaign several times. And I was given the phone number by the John Birch Society, who are strong supporters of Ron Paul. And,
we could never get anybody to come on.
Yeah, direct line to his public relations guys and stuff. And it's like I never got I never even got a return phone call or email or anything. And so I was kind of disappointed. And, but then I wondered... was his campaign, by any chance, infiltrated by the Republicans, by his opposition there?
I can't say for sure one way or the other. I doubt it.
I mean, did you find any like anybody close to him, like dodging the media or trying to tripping him up or, you know, doing anything stupid that would have been?
Think it was. You know, there were some problems with the official campaign. I don't know that it was. I doubt it was done on purpose. You know, when they launched the campaign, they had no idea that it was going to sprout into this huge grassroots movement.
Well, you know, he may not remember, but back when Dean was a big, was a front runner there, an anti-war front runner.
On
the Democratic side back in 2004. What happened with him is he started to kiss up to Al Gore, and then Al Gore's team took over his campaign, and it went right into the tubes. within 30 days of his being with Al Gore, he might as well have caught terminal cancer, because it was just the worst thing he could have had for his campaign. And I was just curious with Ron Paul. I mean, it's so easy to be infiltrated nowadays. I mean, and the way he was he was such a threat to the Republican Party.
I'm surprised, when you mention that, I'm surprised he still continues to be a Republican.
Well, it's interesting now, you see the Republican Party, you know, lost this round, and all of a sudden, they're all for everything that Ron Paul was running on during the campaign, when at the time they were bashing him and making fun of him, and calling him a kook, and now they have him on all their shows all the time, and, you know, Glenn Beck supposedly had this transformation. He's this, you know, libertarian constitutionalist now. And,
right.
I just see it as they're trying to use this movement and this philosophy to try to regain credibility with the base of the Republican Party to get some credibility back. That's just what I see, and a lot of other people see the same thing.
Well, my fear was when after watching that movie that, you know, you have for some reason I don't see those particular followers ever falling for the Republican Party line of bull. But
they're too smart. I mean, the wrong people.
Well, you would think so, but they all. But there was one guy in that video, documentary that said, you know, they should have used Ron Paul, and everybody would have, you know, people would have become a Republican. You know, it would have been the best thing for the Republican Party.
Yeah, that was probably Ted Anderson, and what he was saying was that. If they would have just listened to what Ron Paul had to say and said, you know, yeah, you're welcome, come on into the party, we'll support you.
Right.
That the Republican Party would have been huge. It would have grown. And the thing is, it would have grown with all these new people. It would have grown with all these young people, with energy.
Yeah, but then you get these slime balls like Rudy Giuliani and this other knucklehead, you know, Mitt Romney, all right, and all the other, you know, ha-has and ho-hos.
They're the traditional party hack.
I mean, these guys are absolute scumbuckets, man. These guys have done horrible things, especially Giuliani. For him to be running around with his face showing anywhere is absolutely beyond audacity. But, I mean, what the Republican Party... I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand why a guy like... with a guy with the integrity of a Ron Paul... All right, should even be considering, should even be closely, remotely at all affiliated with that horrible party. All right,
he's an old school Republican, kind of a Goldwater.
That's what scares me, man. I mean, this guy. I mean, as much as I like him and think he's a really straight shooter.
His integrity.
But by him to be involved with the Republican Party is like, you know, walking around with a tail behind you. You know what I mean? It's just like you know, you lose the credibility there. I mean, if he was an independent, he would be such a force to reckon with. But that Republicanism is just a frightening mask that he's wearing, and I don't know why.
You know, in a way, the independent thing is a good idea, but what I think is, and he's even said this himself, is that he ran as a Republican because he's been elected as a Republican in Texas for 10 terms, and he, without being in one of the two parties, the media doesn't even hardly talk about you. You don't get in the debates, you can't reach people with your message, and that's why he did run as a Republican, because to get in the debates and to get on the stage and present these ideas, and to really just show how Republican Party is so off track about from what they used to be. And, you know, here comes this guy who is espousing these ideals from what the party used to be before. And that's what made the party great. You know, that's what made it grew and become what it was. And then it just kind of got taken over by neocons, and now they just launch wars. And,
yeah, but I mean,
and you have the exact same thing on the other side. You have globalists, Democrats who are, you know.
I mean, you got all in bed with the bankers and the, you know, insurance companies, and I mean.
And so there's really not too much difference between the two parties, really.
Barney Franks and Chris Dodd and Joe Lieberman. And,
but I was really happy recently to see the bill come out of committee, H.R. 1207, for regulating the Fed. That's really good.
Yeah, the Fed bill.
I was pleased, very pleased.
That's been quite an interesting thing, seeing that come about, because who could have ever dreamed, and, you know, a couple years ago there was a bill with over 300 co-sponsors in the House, I think over 30 senatorial sponsors. Who would have ever thought that a bill to do that would get so much support? Just something as simple as audit the Federal Reserve, which has never been audited since 1913, since inception. And, you know, Ron Paul is pretty much solely responsible for bringing that subject to the attention of Americans, and that's just pretty amazing.
I never thought it would get this far. I have to say, I never really did. I am so pleased. And he wants you guys are looking for an up or down vote on this bill, right?
Well, I think they passed it out of committee, and I think it's getting attached to some bigger bill. I mean, I never thought that it would ever get through in its form, just because if the Federal Reserve was really ever audited, like, properly, and had transparency on it and what they were doing, all these secret deals of foreign banks and foreign nations, people would be so outraged that it would be overnight, there would be all these high-level bankers and treasury secretaries pretty much in prison.
I would hope so.
That would be good.
And Bernanke on his way out, and Geithner and everybody else involved.
See, that's the kind of thing that dreams are made of.
I mean,
that's what everyone is hoping, that these people just get hauled away for all these shenanigans they've been up to, paying off all their friends and all this. It's just so outrageous. Everything that's happening with the central bank and
well, it'd be really interesting is to see Greenspan up there too. Sweating with the oldies.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, he's got a lot to hide. Volcker had a lot to hide. Bernanke's got a lot to hide. I mean, all these boys have turned this world upside down.
Well, somebody had to pay for Andrea Mitchell's Botox there,
Oh, gosh.
Cost a lot of money.
That was low level.
I couldn't resist, though. So I had to bring that up.
Andrea Mitchell is
Greenspan's
wife. So, it's a frightening thought. But I was curious as to the way that you developed this movie. It's interesting, and the cast of characters I thought was interesting, since the majority of the people in this movie were probably under 30 years old.
And that was good to see.
Or 35 years old, anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of young people that really latched on to the philosophy and the ideals that Ron Paul was talking about in the debates. And you just don't really ever see that. And, getting young people behind these ideas, it's something that, they're impressionable. They're going to grow up, and they're going to remember. And that's pretty much setting their mind, for the rest of their lives.
Well, I think what you... I question whether or not they were really old enough to understand, having gone through, a dozen election cycles, or 12, and maybe more, 72. I don't know how many election cycles that is. But when you've seen that many presidents come and go, and seen the ideologies, peak and crumble, you get pretty disillusioned, and it's nice to it's pretty cynical looking at the American political system. But it was nice to see the energy, the enthusiasm of these guys, and of course it was sad to see their disappointment after the election. But you did a nice job of showing that, by the way.
Great, thanks. We spent quite a bit of time deciding who we wanted to interview.
Yeah.
Corey, the co-producer of the film,
right.
Corey and I, we spent quite a bit of time. We're quite familiar with the grassroots campaign. We are involved in it, and we're on all the forums and websites and stuff. So we knew who a lot of the people were that had been organizing these crazy projects. And
well, the guy that raised that raised all the money. My God, you guys, that $6 million in one day, November 5th, I think, you raised $6 million.
Well, November 5th was the first, what they call the money bomb, and that brought in, I think, $4.2 million. And then a little over a month later, on December 16th, which was the anniversary of the Boston Tea Party, they raised $6.2
million. Oh, wow.
And that was just unbelievable, unprecedented. It never happened in American history. The media was forced to have Ron Paul on their shows for days following.
He did a real nice job with that, by the way, too, showing Hannity and Glenn Beck and all these other guys kowtowing to... apologizing kind of to Ron Paul, and that was good.
Do you think you will be able to keep up the energy?
Well, these people are still out there. They haven't gone away. A lot of them are still active. They're doing things. They're attending these and the Fed rallies that are happening all over the country. And
Hey, do you still have Ron Paul meetups or any of those things going on?
Well, yeah, a lot of the meetup groups, they kind of transitioned into the Campaign for Liberty, which is the
right.
organization that Ron Paul started after his, after the election.
The revolution.
But people still meet up and do things and, you know, do activism, and they, you know, they're still donating money to congressional and Senate candidates that they like. There's this guy, Adam Kokesh, who's running for House in New Mexico. He's actually in our film. He's a Marine. He's getting a lot of support, running a really good campaign. He got Ron's son, Rand Paul, who's running for Senate in Kentucky.
Are these guys all running as Republicans or what?
I believe those two are, yeah. The thing about Rand, though, is that he's actually leading in the polls.
Really?
It's a very good chance he is going to win the Republican primary in Kentucky. There's still support out there, and it's kind of transitioned into supporting Ron for president to kind of supporting a group of candidates now all over the country.
Hey, why don't you, I mean, you could start a party like, you know, like they do, like the Democrats, they're progressive Democrats. You know, start a Ron Paul Republican, you know what I mean? All right, what would they call it?
The Republican Party put up this new website. It's called GOP.com, and the Ron Paul people basically took it over. They went up there, and they have a group of the Ron Paul Republicans, which is it's just the largest group on the entire site. I think it's up to, I think, over 600 members or something like that. And then the next largest group is maybe 60. So they basically took over the GOP.com site. It's pretty funny.
Well, I'm glad they're doing that and working from inside. But yeah, if they really uphold the values of liberty, you know,
and the Constitution,
then essentially they're liberals.
And they're trying to take the party back.
You guys looked a lot. That movie reminded me so much of what we did in the 70s. Picketing and following the McGovern campaign. I was about 18 then. And you just had a lot of hope and a lot of energy, you know, in those campaigns. And people gave a lot of time and a lot of effort, but just like they're doing for Ron Paul. But but Paul's got a lot of integrity, and I personally like the guy, but I wondered how this thing is, because if it's still going viral, or if there's any if it's kind of died down now, or what, maybe the Ron Paul revolution.
Well, like I said, there's still people doing things, you know, the forums are still still going full throttle, the website Daily Paul, which we showcase, and
that was interesting,
documentary, that website's still going. I mean, people are up there all the time. You know, hundreds and hundreds of people visit those couples, you know, those main sites every day, and they're planning things. I mean, right now it's kind of transitioned into they're all, you know, working to get this audit the Fed bill through, and they're just supporting other candidates that are running around the country.
Do you think that he'll run again?
It's very likely he will. You know, his age is an issue. He's 74, I believe. So figure, I mean, he'll be, what, 78 by that time, which is getting up there.
He's pretty fit, though.
He's totally fit. I mean, compared to McCain or someone, I mean, McCain could just keel over tomorrow and no one would be surprised. But with Ron, he rides bikes and walks and runs and stuff, and he's a doctor, so he's in pretty good shape for his age.
Yeah, he looked good, but he was an interesting guy. I was more curious, though. I was wanted to ask you more about the number of activists that you were able to get, like you had some from North Carolina and Massachusetts and, well, there was a number of towns, South Carolina and different places, that you gave them credit for as well on the show. But how did these guys come together? How did you get to interview them? Did you go to each place, or did they come to you, or what?
No, we, last year, right in September, so just a little over a year ago, we, Corey and I, and that guy Mike Marusco that you talked about before, we all packed in my 1984 Mercedes that runs on vegetable oil, and we basically took a 10,000-mile road trip around, just did a loop around the nation, and hit up about 25 people and interviewed them, and we had this all planned out ahead of time, and, you know, most people would agree to an interview. They had no idea who we were, most of them. Some did, some we knew, but we just did a road trip and shot all these interviews, and then came back and Corey and I just locked ourselves in my editing studio for probably about eight months or so, just worked on the editing and spent a lot of time sifting through footage to put the story together.
Right. Now, who are your backers on this? Were you able to get any financial backing for this, or was this part of the Ron Paul movement, or what, how did you...
No, there's no backing. It was just, me and Corey just did it. I'm a video editor already and a filmmaker, so I had a lot of the equipment already. I have a computer and, I do editing for my job, so I already had a lot of the equipment. And, taking that veggie car on the road saved us about $2,000 in fuel because we were pumping dumpsters and stuff, fryer dumpsters along the way. On our trip, and we would just, pull up behind a restaurant and just pump oil and car on it.
That's good. That's fun.
That creates such a strange picture in my mind.
I know.
It's a pretty dirty job sometimes. You got to wear gloves and stuff.
Car's still running okay?
Oh, yeah. It's got 240,000 miles on it. We're going to take it to Phoenix here next week. We're in Wisconsin, so it's quite a jaunt to Phoenix.
But
the car, this thing's run forever, and I'm somewhat of a mechanic, and I work on the thing and, rebuild engines and stuff, so I'm pretty familiar with those older diesels.
Well, good for you.
So this is a bio, what do they call them, a green mobile or something or other.
It's just a veggie car.
Veggie
car. It's got a tank in the trunk that you put vegetable oil in, and then
yeah.
A couple switches in the car, and you can just switch back and forth between the two tanks, the diesel tank or the vegetable.
Do you smell it in the car a lot when it's riding there? I've never driven in one, so I don't know.
You don't really smell it, but people behind you do.
So you don't stop it.
So where are you sending your DVD around to? Your grassroots documentary, where is that being distributed?
Well, we're self-distributing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a website, forlibertymovie.com, and people can go up there and order it and learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
We've entered it in a bunch of film festivals, I think maybe eight or so. I just entered another one today.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So did you...
If it gets accepted in any festivals, then we'll get we'll get some attention to it. And
good.
We've been having some screenings around the country.
Yeah.
We had a big premiere out in Philadelphia at the end of September, and there was about 400 people there, and we got a standing ovation. Everyone loved it.
Oh, good.
And we're going out to Phoenix, like I said, next week, and they're planning a big red carpet premiere there at a theater, and it's going to be a fun time. We're going to have a bunch of people that are in the movie at the premiere, so they want to make it like a big Hollywood premiere and have a red carpet and everything, so it should be pretty fun. That's going to be in Phoenix on December 3rd.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Will Ron Paul be at that one, do you think, or...?
I think he's coming the next day because there's this thing called the Freedom Summit that's happening in Phoenix, and Ron Paul's going to be a speaker over the weekend. But our film is premiering on Thursday to kind of kick off the Freedom Summit in Phoenix.
Right.
I don't think he's going to be there for the screening, unfortunately.
You mean he's going to this Thursday or next Thursday?
It's going to be December 3rd.
Oh, December 3rd.
Thursday, December 3rd.
Oh, that's great. Well, gee, tell me how people can get this now. Libertymovie.com.
It's forlibertymovie.com.
And how much is your movie?
It's $19.95 on the site.
Okay.
And we have discounts, too, where you can order, get one copy, get two copies, three, four, five. And they're quite discounted after you start getting up there.
Okay.
We have activist packs where we just have the disc, the DVD disc itself, in 50 and 100 packs, which is a lot cheaper, so people can... people that like the movie and like the message, and they can give it to their friends and give it to family members and all that. So
I urge people to do that.
4 hours of stuff on the disc. We got all these bonus sections and in addition to the movie.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to look at the extra segments on there. I meant to do that, but I found it to be an interesting insight into this Ron Paul movement. And there were some good speeches by him and some good good takes, especially the ones that you did at the Republican convention.
Right, we wanted to tell the story of what happened because, a lot of people don't really follow.
To piece it together like that was good. I mean, I remember it, and I remember him being insulted, and I remember watching it, especially the smirk by Julie, the smirking Giuliani and the smirking Mitt Romney. Yeah, you caught those guys perfectly.
Yeah.
Oh, you did. And McCain. That guy made me so sick during this campaign. How the hell could anybody in their right mind vote for this insane wacko? All right, and I think you treated him fairly on that video. You know,
well, it's kind of funny because during the campaign, YouTube is all the rage, and a lot of people wouldn't watch Fox just because of principle, and they hate Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what they would do is, on the forums and on the websites, as soon as the debates are over, then someone would quickly, edit out everything else except Ron Paul's.
That's
true. Put up these YouTube so that people would flock and just get to see all the Ron Paul sound bites from the debate.
Right,
they can care less about any of the other candidates.
Well, the other candidates, especially Thompson, I couldn't stand that guy. And Fred, Tommy Thompson was in there, and Fred Thompson, I believe, was the other candidate. Fred Thompson, yeah. The guy who played what was his name? The guy who played
Law and Order, right, or something like that.
Law and Order, yeah. Isn't that Fred Thompson?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, but that guy, I remember in the primaries, he came out like a 2-ton Teddy there, and just kind of tried to blast Ron Paul into irrelevancy, you know.
And they all tried to do that.
They did. And it was, I really began to admire his character, Ron Paul's character, when he kind of like bit his lip, or else he turned around, looked at the guy straight in the eye, and called him a complete,
He stood his ground in a calm, civil way.
And not only that, after he exposed the fact that he says, I don't understand this. I don't understand this at all. You want to borrow from China to pay off Pakistan to so that we can go to war in Iraq? He says, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever, what you're saying. And it didn't. When every single one of those jerks were screaming, war, you know?
Well, those are the kind of things that brought people on board, because they were just stunned that someone was saying these kind of things during a national TV debate, when they're used to just hearing, Giuliani and these guys just spew off all these war on terror talking points.
Oh, God, yeah, that made you sick.
It reminded me of the child's fable, The Emperor's New Clothes. Somebody finally said, the emperor has no clothes.
Yeah. And
that's what he did right there. It was amazing.
Yeah, all those jerks in their Armani suits, looking naked, because they looked like complete idiots. They didn't know what to say.
Well, that's what they are.
Yeah. So, no, they're just crooked. But, hey, Chris, I want to thank you so much. You got anything else to tell the folks? Inspire, rev them up here for the revolution or what?
Yeah, you just check out the movie, FortLibertyMovie.com. You can go there and check out the film. We've got a lot of positive feedback, and it's just
very
a good story of the American spirit and what people can do when they really put their mind to something.
Yeah, I hope the Daily Paul has got a picture of your For Liberty DVD up there. Should be playing a trailer of it, no?
Yeah, they got some banners, and the owner of Daily Paul is helping us promote it and stuff.
I would hope so, yeah.
Good. Well, I hope he gets some awards and gets some more attention.
Yeah, we'll be looking forward to
hearing about that.
Yeah.
Great. Well, yeah, have him back anytime, and feel free to interview my co-producer, Corey. He'll be on here to debate with you guys if you want.
Right.
Okay, thanks very much.
Okay, nice to talk to you guys.
All right, thanks so
good
much.
Good night.
Take care of yourself.
And that was...
That was Chris Rye, and his co-producer is Corey Kohler.
What's his last name?
Keeler or Kohler.
Okay. I didn't catch what his last name was.
Yeah, Keeler.
Keeler, okay.
Keeler. K-E-A-L-I-H-E-R. Corey. That's his
co-producer.
Well,
it gives you DVD gives you insight into the Ron Paul campaign, and it helped clarify a lot that I didn't really get into his entire campaign and didn't know a lot of these things were going on myself.
We were pushed away by the mainstream
media,
and even by the internet, there wasn't enough on there as far as concerned about Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So,
he now seems to be getting bigger than ever.
But it's because of their revolutionary thing that they're doing, the grassroots movement.
Right, and they.
He probably won't run again. He probably won't be able to. But I mean, it's not that. It's not that at all. It's just getting somebody. It's kind of like what Ralph Nader did with the Greens, is trying to
build a movement based on integrity.
A third party movement too, and it shouldn't be this Republican crap. You know? Oh my God. Anyway,
yeah, because they could
get
sucked up
and
destroyed by a corrupt party.
Well,
that's for
sure.
Well,
it did. It got devoured by that party. Mm-hmm. And even an independent, he would have had that strength of an independent, and not boneheaded Republicans. My God, you know, they'll destroy that. They'll try to destroy him, and they'll just, you know, destroy his campaign. So destroy any.
Well, I hope not. I hope
things
go right.
The only thing that scares me is that these Ron Paulers would move into the Republican camp, and that would destroy the whatever, you know, whatever.
Well, only time will tell. In the meantime, we've come to the end of our show.
Yes, we have, and we want to thank everybody. We hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll be talking to you next week. And you can join us tomorrow night at lasteelshow.org. We'll be on at 8 o'clock, 8 to 9. Then we'll be off Thursday and Friday. And we'll be back here next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right?
Yep, and we should sing our way out.
1st of December. So, all join us. Happy trails.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you. Till we meet again. And thanks for choosing the LA Steel Show.
Yeah.
Choose us again next Tuesday night from 8 to 10 o'clock, where we have our regular guest, John Brennan, talking on environmental issues, and our special guest.
Okay.
Good night, folks. WQQQ, Sharon Lakeville Minuton, your hometown voice.
And that was our interview with Chris Rye. And I hope you enjoyed that. And we, pretty much the show for tonight. We also would like to we're disconnected. That's really wonderful. Our show is over. Our show is on. Let's say it's on. I guess it is. But anyway, I just wanted to say goodnight. Hope you enjoyed the show. And join us right here again next week. That's right, we won't be back till the 2nd of June, of December. So we hope you have a very good holiday. And we'll talk to you back next Wednesday. In the meantime, you can check out our archives, tell your friends. And also you can join us next Tuesday night when we have our WQQQ.com. And 103.3 FM show, so you can join us right on your internet as well. Just go to WQQQ.com next Tuesday night, and Wednesday we'll be here, Thursday and Friday of next week as well. So join us, and thank you for being with us.